Hello, Sendai! 外国語情報番組、多言語放送局の時間です。この番組は、仙台韓国国際協会、センティアが英語、中国語、韓国語、優しい日本語の4言語で、毎月トピックを変えて、情報をお伝えしています。今日の担当は、カナダ出身のテシアと、
アイルランド出身のイライと、
ウクライナ出身のマリアと、
コスタリカ出身のリチャードです。
今月のテーマは移動を楽しもう交通手段ルールについてです。今日は英語でお送りいたします。 Hello and welcome to Hello Sendai. Every month we broadcast seasonal topics and information to you from Sentia in English, Chinese, Korean and Easy Japanese. My name is Tesha and I'm from Canada.
My name is Eli and I'm from Ireland.
My name is Maria and I'm from Ukraine.
And my name is Richard and I'm from Costa Rica.
Our topic for today is Have a safe trip. How do you travel around? So May has finally arrived in the city of trees. Not only is the weather outside fabulous, it's also a month in which many Japanese public holidays take place in. In fact, there are a whopping 4 national holidays that spans from the last week of April to the first week of May, which is why this period in the year is commonly referred to as Golden Week or Golden Week, as many people take this golden opportunity to travel and partake in leisure activities. So today, we will be talking about how we spend our day offs and how traffic infrastructures and rules differ across regions and countries. Yeah, so we actually have 2 guests today, which is extremely exciting. Yay! Do you guys have any plans for Golden Week? Are you going to travel around? Maria, what about you?
Well, I don't have plans yet because I have my hot dog at the university. So I'm just going to get ready and then I might have some plans. Yeah. I'm a fan of Ryagiken, so I will go somewhere.
Oh, that's nice.
Do you have any favorite spots in the Ryagiken?
Oh, I like Matsushima and I like Shibata because there are a lot of picturesque places and mountains, and I like this place.
Nice. Yeah, what about you, Richard? Do you have any plans?
Not yet. Yeah. I still have to think about it. Maybe I'll get the JR pass for Tohoku region.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I think it's a very good deal. You can travel as much as you want by Shinkansen and visit many places. So I've been like thinking about that. But if not, I might stay here in Sendai and then just as Maria, try to go to Matsushima. Maybe I'll take a look to Shibata. I think I have never been there. But yeah, I think there is a lot to see here in Miyagi-ken.
I haven't made plans for Golden Week yet. I'm planning to travel to Taiwan the week beforehand.
Right.
Because I have some friends that live over there because I used to study there for a bit. So I'm going to go visit for a weekend. And I kind of forgot Golden Week existed, so I didn't factor it into my plans. So like, I took time off just to go to Taiwan and I realized, oh, I have a bunch of time off the next week anyway. So I don't know, I'll probably take it easy too. There's a lot of Miyagi-ken I haven't seen yet. What about you, Tesha?
The Tohoku region pass that Richard mentioned earlier on, I actually already purchased that. I will be visiting all 6 prefectures of Tohoku. I think I will be really, really tired after that, but yeah, it's going to be a good time. And it's all going to be day trips, like higaeris, because I don't want to pay for hotels.
Yeah, so that's my plan. Yeah, don't worry, I'm on your team.
Yeah, so I'm going to train for like 2 hours to Akita, explore for half a day, and then train 2 hours back to Senna and do that like 5 days.
Yeah,
and I think this is only doable because like the train system in Japan is so comfortable. I'm from Canada and we do have trains in Canada, but trains in Canada are nothing like Shinkansen. It's like you have to stay alert and awake basically in the entire time. The seats are not comfortable and it's just kind of like dirty sometimes. So I am really, really impressed by the Japanese train system personally, because where I'm from, it's pretty much a car dominant society. Like most people kind of just, they drive around. Each family has like 2 or 3 cars basically. And public transportation isn't really as well developed as it is in Japan. I want to hear about, like, you know, Ukraine and Costa Rica and Ireland. Like, how is the public transportation in those countries?
Yeah, in Ukraine, we mostly use public transport. Well, there are a lot of cars too, but if you then don't have one, it's not a problem to go somewhere by bus or to take a train. Well, Ukraine is quite a big country, and if you want to go somewhere, you just take a train, and it's going to be a long trip because sometimes you just have to sleep in the train, but you can, you know, sleep well if you go somewhere the whole night.
Do they have like beds in the train? Oh wow!
Yeah, you can have a pillow and a blanket and just sleep if you have good neighbors.
If you have good neighbors, very important point.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about Costa Rica? Do you guys have trains?
I will start with the saying that Costa Rica is a very small country. Yeah. We do have trains, but it's just two lines connecting probably the main cities.
Okay.
And well, we had trains like 100 years ago or so, but in the 90s they stopped the service like for around 20 years. So there is like a huge gap between like a good transportation system, right? And mainly Costa Ricans transport by bus, which is good. You can go everywhere, but it's very bad managed. Like times are unpredictable.
Yeah, you know, like they're always
it's very different compared to here. Like the bus will come, stop at the time that is written in the bus stop, and then it will leave. But in Costa Rica, you can wait there for an hour. You will never know when the bus will come. But the good thing is like if the bus is going, you can try to catch it like running and just scream to the to the guy, and he will stop for you.
Also, it's flexible in that way.
In that way, they have to give something because they're very late, so they have to wait a little. Like if you compare to Japan, they're like very far.
And
that's mainly how we transport, but maybe the easiest way to transport is like using a car. So now there's a lot of people buying cars.
What about Ireland?
It's really funny listening to Costa Rica. It's the exact same, like to the letter. We had a full countrywide train system, but that got phased out about 50 years ago. It's completely gone now.
Right.
We now only have lines that connect the major cities, but nobody really uses them. So people use buses for most places, but the buses are always late. They have like these like electric timetables at bus stops, and they say like, I don't know, 2 o'clock, you know, bus is coming, 3 o'clock, bus is coming. And all of a sudden the 2 o'clock bus will just disappear off the list. And then it'll just never show up. So we have magical vanishing buses. Like our timetabling is that bad as well. So it's always late. People generally rely on cars. If you talk about the big cities like Dublin, it'll be similar again, like huge congestion. It's really bad. So
when you travel around in Sendai, just like for daily life, what is your preferred mode of transportation?
Well, I felt at one point that it was too expensive to use public transport, and I just like to go around the city, but it's too, you know, it takes time to walk, and it's too expensive to go, you know, to take a train to for just one stop or something like that. And I decided to buy a bike, and it was, you know, the best decision in my life. Because you know, I have kind of training every day. I spend an hour outside while riding to, you know, the university and back home. So it's great. This is my beloved one.
And Richard, well, you don't have a bike, so how do you get around?
Well, I got the commuter pass for the Chikatetsu, the subway, which is very convenient for me because I have to go to Awayama every day.
Yeah.
So I don't see myself like climbing the mountain. Like I did it when I arrived here because it was fun. It was like the first days in Japan, so I have to walk. But every time I get there, I was like
sweating
like crazy. Yeah. So I was like, oh no, maybe I'll get the commuter pass. And very convenient, like you can travel as much as you want. Then just walking.
Well, speaking of, you know, biking and I guess walking in general, did any of Japan's traffic rules surprise you? Like, how's it different from, I guess, where you came from? Because I know, Maria, you said you have been stopped by traffic police before.
Yeah.
So can you tell us a little bit about that?
My life full of adventures. Well, first of all, when I started, you know, riding a bike, I was full of stereotypes that Japanese people are, you know, following the rules. But that's not always true, and I have to be very careful with other, you know, people on the bikes. And you cannot, you know, ring the bell, actually.
Wait, really?
Wait, what?
there is one, but yeah. nobody uses it actually, because you know, everyone has to be very quiet and
you don't want to disturb.
Yeah, you don't have to disturb people around you. Yeah. And even when someone, you know, walks alone the bike lane, you cannot use
the bell. Well, the bell to
You have to just wait, or you know, ride really, really slowly. And I mastered this skill actually. I think that I'm the slowest rider in Santa. Once I have been stopped by the traffic police. Actually, it was when I was riding down the hill from Kawauchi campus. Yeah, yeah. And first of all, it was very, really scary because it's really high. It was my first ride there, and I just didn't expect it would be so high. I was afraid. And then I heard, you know, sirens and I got the red ticket. And I believe they give this information to the university as well, which was very surprising for me, because, you know, when you break the rules in Ukraine, for example, it's only your business.
Right, yeah.
But here
yeah.
in Japan, it's like everyone's business. So I felt a little bit uncomfortable. And I didn't want my sensei to know that I was a criminal.
Richard, what do you think about the traffic rules in Japan? Is it like stricter than Costa Rica?
Yeah, indeed. I think it's more strict.
Really?
You can see it in the way people like drive. Mm-hmm. Like, it's more slow. Mm-hmm. They're like more careful. Every time they're like trying to do like some movement, they're like going very far away from the car next to them, like 2-3 meters away. And you're like, why so far? And when they're parking, it's the same thing. So I think probably it's because they're more strict. So they're more careful because they don't want to have these experiences of paying fees and dealing with the traffic officer and everything. So I think in that sense, they are more strict. And something that actually surprised me a little bit is like when you have the pedestrian light, the green light, actually cars can turn.
Yeah.
And in my country, when you have the green light, cars cannot cross.
It's the same in Ireland as well.
So yeah, the first times I was like, what is he trying to do? I'm walking. But just be careful with that. Sometimes like people go too fast and you just need to be careful about that.
The one thing that surprised me is that U-turn is legal in Japan. Like, you know, turning in the middle of the road to the other side. Because like, U-turn is very illegal in Canada. The first time I saw a car U-turn in like the middle of Jōzenji-dori, I was like, what? Yeah. Excuse me? On like a major road too? Lastly, we have an announcement from Santia. Santia is recruiting volunteers who are interested in helping us with activities related to promoting cross-cultural understanding. Those who sign up as volunteers will visit schools and other facilities to introduce their home country to children. This is a great opportunity to see the Japanese school environment for yourself and interact with children, and think about your native culture from a new perspective. Some possible event ideas include trying on cultural clothing, showing photos of your hometown and your family, and playing folk games. If you're interested in signing up as a volunteer, please inquire at the International Relations Department of Sentia at 022-268-6260. And that's it of our program today. See you again soon. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.